tarnished by images of exploding space shuttles, crack babies, and a generation of complacent Americans who had allowed the television to raise their children. People were looking for something. I think they just didn't know what. And even though they were once again starting to open their eyes to the world of magic and the arcane that had been with them all the while, they still thought I must be some kind of joke. Anyway, it had been a slow month, a slow pair of months, actually. My rent from February didn't get paid until the 10th of March, and it was looking like it might be even longer until I got caught up for this month. My only job had been the previous week when I'd gone down to Branson, Missouri, to investigate a country singer's possibly haunted house. It hadn't been. My client hadn't been happy with that answer, and had been even less happy when I suggested he lay off any intoxicating substances and try to get some exercise and sleep, and see if that didn't help things more than any exorcism. I'd gotten travel expenses plus an hour's pay, and gone away feeling I'd done my honest, righteous, and impractical thing. I heard later he hired a shyster psychic to come in and perform a ceremony with a lot of incense and black lights. Some people. I finished up my paperback and tossed it into the done box. There was a pile of red and discarded paperbacks in the cardboard box on one side of my desk. The spine's bent and the pages mangled. I'm terribly hard on books. I was eyeing the pile of unread books, considering which to start next, given that I had no real work to do, when my phone rang. I stared at it in a somewhat surly fashion. We wizards are terrific at brooding. After the third ring, when I thought I wouldn't sound a little too eager, I picked up the receiver and said, "Dresden."
"Oh, is this some Harry Dresden, the, wizard?"
Her tone was apologetic, as though she were terribly afraid she would be insulting me. "No," I thought. "It's Harry Dresden, the, lizard. Harry Dresden, the wizard, is one door down." It is the prerogative of wizards to be grumpy. It is not, however, the prerogative of freelance consultants who are late on their rent, so instead of saying something smart, I told the woman on the phone, "Yes, ma'am, how can I help you today?"
She said, "I'm not sure. I've lost something, and I think maybe you could help me."
"Finding lost articles is a specialty," I said. "What would I be looking for?"
There was a nervous pause. "My husband," she said.
She had a voice that was a little hoarse, like a cheerleader who had been working on a long tournament, but had enough weight of years in it to place her as an adult. My eyebrows went up.
"Ma'am, I'm not really a missing persons specialist. Have you contacted the police or a private investigator?"
"No," she said quickly. "No, they can't. That is, I haven't." "Oh dear, this is also complicated. Not something can talk about on the phone. I'm so sorry to take up your time, Mr. Dresden."
"Hold on now," I said quickly. "I'm sorry, you didn't tell me your name."
There was that nervous pause again, as though she was checking a sheet of written notes before answering.
"Call me Monica."
People who know diddly about wizards don't like to give us their names. They're convinced that if they give the wizard their name from their own lips, it could be used against them. To be fair, they're right. I had to be polite and harmless as I could. She was about to hang up out of pure indecision, and I needed the job. I could probably turn hubby up if I worked on it. "Okay, Monica," I told her, trying to sound as melodious and friendly as I could. "If you feel your situation is of a sensitive nature, maybe you could come by my office and talk about it. If it turns out that I can help you best, I will. And if not, then I can direct you to someone I think can help you better." I gritted my teeth and pretended I was smiling.
"No charge."
It must have been the no charge that did it. She agreed to come right out to the office and told me she would be there in an hour. That put her estimated arrival at about 2:30, plenty of time to go out and get some lunch and then get back to the office to meet her. The phone rang again, almost the instant I put it down, making me jump. I peered at it. I don't trust electronics. Anything manufactured after the 40s is suspect. It doesn't seem to have much liking for me. You name it, cars, radios, telephones, TV, VCRs, none of them seem to behave well for me. I don't even like to use automatic pencils. I answered the phone with the same false cheer I had summoned up for the Monica husband missing. "This is Dresden. May I help you?" "Harry, I need you at the Madison in the next 10 minutes. Can you be there?" The voice on the other end of the line was also a woman's. Cool, brisk, businesslike. "Why, Lieutenant Murphy," I gushed, overflowing with saccharin. "It's good to hear you, too. It's been so long." "Oh, they're fine, fine. And your family?" "Save it, Harry. I've got a couple of bodies here, and I need you to take a look around." I sobered immediately.